Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy holy word. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for its preciousness and its relevance and for the fact that it will never pass away. Lord, there are many great volumes, great books that come on the scene, but they will pass away one day, even though many of them are with us for centuries, but not thy word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not thy word, the Lord Jesus said. And we are so glad that we have it. We ourselves will pass away if the Lord tarries his coming, but thy word will still remain. And Lord, as we come to study it again at our service just now, we pray that thou wilt give us life and vitality in that process of studying and in preaching and in hearing. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit to accompany the word, to empower the word in the lives of us each one. And we pray that thou wilt make us to be obedient to it, gladly obedient, and write it upon our hearts now. Help me to preach it as it should be preached, in Jesus' name. Amen. The importance of prayer is a reality upon which believers are generally agreed. I think every believer agrees with that statement. The value of prayer is a fact that few people would oppose. However, the practice of prayer is something that many people are not committed to. And that's sad for different reasons, but especially because of what they are depriving themselves of if they do not pray to the Lord as God sets out in his word. The Bible says that they miss out badly. James, writing to his reader, says in chapter 4 of his epistle, and the second verse, ye have not because ye ask not. So what he's saying is, there are things that God is ready to give, but you don't have them because you don't ask for them. And we should take this on board. Now, in this particular passage, the Lord Jesus Christ was giving his farewell message to the disciples. And he was teaching them a lot in such a short compass. He was speaking about heaven. He was speaking about the way to God. He was speaking about the coming of the Holy Ghost into the world and into the life of the believer. He was speaking about our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was speaking about a second coming. And all of this was to encourage God's people to live on this earth without his physical presence. He knew that he was going to be taken away from them, and he wouldn't see them again for a long, long time, at least until they died, or if he would come back first. And really, he's dealing with the period of history that we're in, from his first advent to his second advent, and he's given us all of this encouragement. But among the greatest matters of encouragement was this, that God wants his people to pray, and God wants his people to know that he answers their prayer. And I want you to see that from this part of his message, verse 23 and verse 24 of John 16. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. What a promise this is. I have reason yet still to be bringing these words to the Lord in prayer. I have seen fulfillment to them, but I'm yet waiting further fulfillment. So I'm preaching to you from my own heart, as I always do, but particularly with regard to this passage. Now, in order to see how we are encouraged by the Lord to pray, I want us to look at a number of matters from these words. First of all, the range that our praying can cover. God gives us a wide field to rove in with regard to prayer. He gives us a wide canvas to paint on. He says, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whatsoever. You take that word in. These are matters that cover the spiritual, how we may grow in grace, how we may become more holy than what we are, how we may live triumphantly, how we can overcome the difficulties of life, how we can be effective in our service, how we can become more like Christ. They also deal with the physical, with our health and well-being. James tells us, pray for one another that ye may be healed. They deal with the physical. They deal with the material that we have enough to get by on. You remember in Matthew 6 in the model prayer, the Lord Jesus said, part of what he said was this in that prayer, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. So he's telling us to pray for our material needs. Whatsoever means anything for God's glory and for our good. We need not be reckless about this. We need not be foolish. God is not going to give us things that will harm us. He's not going to give us things that will not be for our good. He's not going to give us things that will not be for our glory. But that said, whatever situations arise that we need God to intervene in, and whatever desires that we have that are legitimate and scriptural and that God has led in our hearts, you can be sure, brethren and sisters, that whatsoever ye ask, it will be given you. One of the hymns in our book, and we'll be singing part of this hymn whenever we close, Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. What we ask for, if it's legitimate, in God's will, and God has burdened us about, can never exceed the supply from which it may come from. The Bible tells us that we can ask for what we want. Now, it doesn't always mean that we'll get it, but whatever is in the will of God, and whatever God has promised us specifically, we will get. Listen to what Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says. In everything, and mark that word, everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, that means by prayer and earnest prayer, with thanksgiving, don't forget that, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, whatever it is that's troubling you, bothering you, whatever you feel strongly about, whatever desire God has given you an assurance that you may have, based on his word, in everything, talk to the Lord about it. Let this offer encourage us and stir our hearts and minds to pray. Now, I've already said, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. You think of the large petitions in the Bible that were prayed. Elijah prayed on one occasion over a dead boy, and he said, Lord, let this lad's soul come back into him again. Oh, that's a big prayer. That's a large petition. Hannah, when she was taunted by her adversary, whenever her husband had another wife who had children, but Hannah had no children, she brought the matter to the Lord in prayer, and God specifically answered. Whenever the church was deprived of James through the sword of Herod, and whenever Herod had taken Peter to do the same with him, that church was in an awful situation. But they went with a big prayer. Listen to what they prayed. In Acts 12 we are told, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Big petition. The Lord says in Psalm 81 verse 10, I am the Lord God which brought you out of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. The fact that I'm a God who can do so much, open your mouth wide with big petitions. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Lord, coming to a king, Lord's petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Listen to what Paul writes. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yes, the hymn writer had it right. And the Lord Jesus shows you the range that our praying can cover whatsoever. But notice, secondly, not only the range that our praying can cover, but the requirements that our praying must observe. Notice again these words, verse 23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, I want you to notice something very important here. In the original, in which the Bible is written, there are different words for ask. See verse 23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. That word ask means ask questions, have mysteries sorted out. The Lord says, in that day, when you're with me, and whenever I come back again, you'll not have to ask anything. Everything will be clear to you. Ah, but it's a different word. Whenever we come into the middle of the verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, that's an entirely different word in Greek. It means ask petitions. It means have your desires fulfilled, to make requests and petitions of him. And I want to say, first of all, the first requirement is that we should ask. Real prayer is asking. Yes, we've got to worship God. That's praying. We've got to tell the Lord how great we know him to be. We've got to stand in awe of his person, his holiness and righteousness. Yeah, but whenever we come to pray, praying is asking. I remember reading some years ago about a young man starting off in prayer in a prayer meeting. And he was so nervous, and he'd never prayed, and he thought he had done terrible, but he didn't. But there was somebody else who had been praying for a long while over the years, and even in the prayer meeting, and he went on and on and on, and there was no end in sight. And then he finally got around to, he was going to make a request, and the older, experienced believer said, "And now, Lord, what shall we ask thee for?" And one of the other older Christians in the meeting says, "Just recognize that he's your heavenly Father. Ask him for something and sit down." What a way to come to the prayer meeting. That young man, inexperienced believer, realized there was more power in his stuttering and stammering and ungrammatical utterances because he was praying from the heart just in a minute or two. Whereas the other man was praying for a long, long time and getting nowhere. The Lord wants us to ask. Keep asking, brethren and sisters. Ask. That's one thing in our prayer meetings. There's always plenty of asking. And it's gladdening of the heart to know that. But notice something else. We've got to come to the Father. This is another requirement. We've got to address God the Father. Now, that's what the Lord's saying here. Look at the wording. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father. The Lord Jesus is talking now about going to the Father in prayer. Let me clarify something. It is possible to talk to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Yeah, should we call on him to save us? And there are many times I talk directly to him. I said, "Lord, you've given this promise. You must mean it. And I'm presenting it to the Father, as you have said." So I can talk to the Lord Jesus, and I can talk to the Holy Spirit. But the general way is, according to the Lord Jesus here, is go to the Father. Here the Lord Jesus is expressly stating, ask the Father. So we come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we finish our prayer generally, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Now, that brings me to another point. Sometimes we can just say praying in Jesus' name because it's a nice thing to tag on at the end of the prayer. At least it shows that we're differentiating between the persons whenever we pray. But do you really know what it means to pray in Jesus' name? Sometimes we can just finish our prayer abruptly and not mention, not say we ask it in Jesus' name at all. And our prayer can be as equally effective and reverent. But what's the significance of Jesus' name here? Did the Lord Jesus just expect us to add on, tag on this little cliche at the end of our petitions? Or did he mean something else? Well, he meant something else for sure. But I think it's good to finish off our prayer by saying we ask this in Jesus' name. But he meant something more than that. What it means to pray in Jesus' name is something of tremendous magnitude and importance, whether we say it or not. It means, first of all, whenever we pray in Jesus' name, is to pray, make our petition, our whatsoever, with the approval of the Lord Jesus. That's why we should think and not rush glibly into the presence of God for what we're asking. We need to be sure that what we are asking is not violating His will. And that's why I'm saying, if we are quoting Scripture, a promise, and God particularly has impressed that promise upon our hearts and minds, then we can pray that with confidence and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is approving of the prayer. He's desiring that we pray. Now remember, He, in this verse that we are looking at, these two verses, verse 23 and 24, is actually directing us to go to God in prayer, go to the Father in prayer, with Christ's approval about what the whatsoever is we're praying about. So it means to pray with His approval. And we should make sure when we're coming to ask God for anything, would the Lord Jesus approve of this? If I have no clear guidance on whether He approves of it or not, I've always got to defer to His will. And say, Lord, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if it's right. It's a desire that I have, and I want to make sure that you have approve it, and I'm only asking you in Thy will. And if the Lord doesn't approve of it, He will show us in one way or another. Sometimes He shows us by showing us very clearly, that's not for you. Or after a while, with incessant praying, we lose an interest in what we're praying for. But then again, to pray in Jesus' name means not only asking with the approval of the Lord Jesus, but it means to ask with the authority of the Lord Jesus. And here in this particular promise we're looking at, we can see both the approval and the authority of the Lord Jesus in action. The Lord is saying, go to the Father in my name. Now, I'm sure most people here know what a check is. Maybe some of the children might know so much, but we usually work through checks. You picture a check, and apart from the places with the date and the name of the bank, there are lines to the left-hand side for a name, your name, to be written in there. And underneath it, the amount of money to be written in words, say £20 in words. And then over to the right-hand side, there's a little rectangle for that amount of money to be put in digits, to be put in figures. And that means that if that check's made out to you, you go to the bank and you're looking for the amount of money to be placed to your account or else to be given to you in cash. But underneath that little triangle where the amount of money is in figures, there is a signature. And that signature is the signature of the person that owns the money. And owns the checkbook, probably. We're assuming now it's not a company, it's not a church, or it's not a business, but it's just a person who's writing out a check out of his own account. You bring it to the bank. You know that person whose signature on the check has given you £20. You bring it to the bank. The bank looks at it. The name at the bottom is good. The amount is good. And either that money is given back to you in hard cash or else it's put to your account. The point is, The signature at the bottom right-hand side of the check authorizes you to go to the bank and draw that money out of their account. What the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, whenever you say, Lord, I'm coming to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord is authorizing the petition. God looks at your request and says, oh, my son approves of that. My son authorizes that. Sure, I'll give the bearer what he wants. I may have to wait. You can go to the bank and get it done right away, but God doesn't work that way. He'll give it. He may give it right away in an answer, or he may lodge it to your account so that you may have the benefit of it some other time. But that's the point. It's the Lord Jesus is authorizing the prayer when you use his name. But there's something else in this verse. Well, just let me give you one other instance. A prescription. You go to the doctor, you're not too well, and the doctor writes out a script. You bring it to the chemist that you normally go to. The chemist looks at it. He looks, first of all, and sees the signature of the doctor. And very often you can hardly make out the signature, but the chemists know what it is. And then they look at what's prescribed. And they give it to you. No question. Why? Because the doctor has the authority to write on the behalf of the health service what the prescription is that you're to get. So it's approved and authorized. So you go to heaven with the prescription, and God the Father sees the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gives you what you need and require in answer to you presenting that script to Him. So to pray in Jesus' name means to pray with His approval of the petition, to pray with His authorization of the petition, and then thirdly, to pray with the advocacy of the Lord Jesus in mind. Not only is the Lord approving of what you ask, not only is He authorizing it, but He's actually advocating here that you go to the Father with the request in my name. Oh, that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? I think it's great to know this. Turn back to chapter 14 and notice verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That will I do. The Lord is not only now saying to us, I'm approving of the request. I'm authorizing you to go. I'm advocating that you go. But I'm seeing to it whenever you're praying. He says, whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See how God the Father and God the Son is involved in this, and the Lord is actually urging us to go forward. He's not just agreeing with it, He's not only okaying the petition, but He's actually recommending you and urging you to go. Notice the aim. We should pray with this aim in mind when we use the name of the Lord Jesus. And that is, in John 14, that the Father, the end of it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we should keep that in mind. Whenever we are praying in Jesus' name, whether we say it or not, we're keeping it in our mind that we're praying with the approval of the Lord for this matter. We're praying with the authorization of the Lord. Father, the Lord Jesus has said I could go to you on His behalf and His name. We're praying with the advocacy of the Lord in mind. Lord, Father, Jesus has said I should come to thee and urge you to do it. He has told me to come to you. He's advocating, He's recommending that I go to you. And the aim is, if you grant me this request, you'll be glorified. And thy Son will be glorified. That's what he's saying. And then we should ask with the action of Christ in mind, where the Lord says, I will do it. The Lord Jesus is not just an onlooker with no interest in the case. He's there to supervise the whole proceeding. Because whenever the Lord Jesus Christ's name is used, we're going in His person, and He has all the weight, the authority, and the merit that's required. And God looks upon His Son and says, so my Son has urged you to come with this request. Well, I do it for my son's sake. And that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. To pray our petition with his approval of it, his authorization of it, his advocacy of it, his aim in it, and his action in it. That's what it is to pray in Jesus' name. So try and keep these things in mind as we come to pray. And it is good to finish our petition with, we ask this, Lord, in thy name. As long as we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, as long as we understand what we mean when we say we are pleading in Jesus' name, we're just praying the same prayer that we would expect the Lord to pray if he was in our position. And remember, this is key. His merit. Plead his blood. Plead his wounds. Plead his atonement and say, Lord, the Father, the Lord Jesus is worthy of me getting this request. He's worthy, not that I am, but the Lord's worthy that you should grant this petition of mine that I have asked in his name. Notice very quickly the third matter in this verse. We have seen the range that our praying can cover. We have seen the requirements that our praying must observe. Notice thirdly, the response our praying will receive. Notice the wording here. Whatsoever ye shall ask, back in chapter 16, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. There's the response. If it's in my name, if I approve of it, if I authorize it, I'm urging you to go, I'll be involved in it. It's for my glory and for my Father's glory. The Father will give it to you. Now notice, this is a positive response. Now, there could be a negative response. The Lord might say, no, it's not for you. Not for you, my child, you're asking for the wrong thing. I'm talking now about us believing that we know the mind of the Lord on matters, because the promises in the Word, or there are examples in the Word, there are conditions to the promise perhaps, and we say, yes, Lord, I fulfill those. I believe this is for me. And if the Lord encourages you by laying that on your heart and mind, it's never out of your heart and mind when you're praying. There may be a no if that's not on your heart and mind in that way. But he's saying here, I'll give it to you. Now there may be a delay. Maybe quite a while. But that'll prove whether your prayer was sincere and of the Lord if you keep at it. The illustrations used in olden times, whenever ships were sent out at sea, the longer they were away out at sea meant they were getting more cargo and they were coming home more laden. The delay in the ship generally meant the cargo has been so numerous, it's taken us time to get back. And whenever we put our prayers out to the Lord in Jesus' name, it's like the ship going out to sea. It's coming back laden with abundant answer. That's why the Lord lets us delay at times. It'll certainly be an appropriate response. It'll be in keeping with the whatsoever that we have desired in prayer. It will be a motivating response, because if the Lord answers your prayer in a big thing that you're praying for specifically, that will motivate you to pray again and again. And it will be a gracious response, because God is not obligated to give us anything. We're so undeserving. We don't deserve. Everything that we get from him is because of his grace, not because of merit or warrant on our part. But let this be of truth encourage you, friend. If we go to him in the name of Christ and the prayer is right, then God will give it you. Very quickly, a few other things to say and we'll finish. Number four, the reassurance our prayer praying can bring. Notice the next verse, verse 24. Hitherto, or up to now, that's what that word means, up to now, up to the present time, have ye asked nothing in my name? Now he's back again in his name. You see, They didn't really need to because they were communing with the Lord day by day. They were talking to Him all the time. And they were not fully aware of the fact that He was the mediator and that they would have to go to God the Father through Him as the mediator. They were learning that. The Lord is teaching them now. But they loved Him. They knew He was sent from God. They knew He was the Son of God. But they were communing with Him day after day. But the Lord says, now you haven't asked anything in My name, but you're going to have to ask from now on. And that's what we've already noticed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive. There's the reassurance. He already told them in verse 23, ask, and you'll be given it. And now He says, you haven't asked anything in My name up to now. Ask, and ye shall receive. Oh, how that warmed my heart years ago, whenever the weight of this word began to weigh heavily on my soul and mind, that the Lord is actually saying, go on ahead, ask, ask. Ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. But go on ahead, ask. And that thrills me every time I think of that, that the Lord is actually copper fastening it. He says, ask in My name and you'll have it. Go on, ask, ask. That's what He's saying. There's the reassurance. And again, you can see the importance of in My name. And He shall give it you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord wants us to know that He will answer prayer. James tells us in chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How much? We saw the other night, whenever we were dealing in Exodus 15 with Moses at Marah, whenever Moses cried unto the Lord because of the murmurings of the people, those waters were so bitter. God showed him a tree, cut it down and put it into the waters, and the waters were sweetened. How powerful prayer is. It availeth much. I've already mentioned Elijah praying for the wee fella, and the Bible says the Lord hearkened unto Elijah, and the lad's soul came into him again. Elijah prayed in one instance that it wouldn't rain, and about 3 years or so later, he prayed that it would rain, and God answered his prayers. Whenever Rebekah and Isaac were married for some time, there was no sign of any children. And Isaac came to the Lord, and we are told in Genesis 25 and verse 21, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah because she was barren. And the Bible says the Lord was entreated of him. And you know what happened? Not only was a child on the way, but twins were on the way. God answered specific prayer. And in the great 1859 revival that this country is still benefiting from, it started in prayer. Four young men in a schoolroom, a schoolhouse in Kells, way up in near Ballymena. And the great 1858 revival in America started off with among many strands, but one young man in particular called Joseph Lanphier rented a room at 12 o'clock one day in Fulton Street in New York. He put out 24 seats. 12 came. The next day he had the meeting. I think 23 came. And then it began to grow and grow and grow, and they had to move to a place that seated 3,000 people. And before very long, all over America, waves of revival were coming. The reassurance. He says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will do it. He will give it you. Ask, and ye shall receive. And then notice lastly, we've seen the range that our praying can cover. We have seen the requirements that our praying must observe. We have seen the response that our praying will receive, and the reassurance that our praying can retain. Obtain. Notice the reason why our praying should continue. Notice the last part. We'll read verse 24 again. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's why we should pray. God has unbounded joy for us. if we continue in prayer. There is joy in the Christian life. There are varying degrees of joy, or else the Lord wouldn't have said that your joy be full here. And full joy in this context has to do with prayer. And let me tell you why. Number one, the obvious answer is, you get the request that you have prayed for, should you have prayed for years. There's great joy in that. But there's another element to the joy, and that is, you look up into the face of God by faith and you say, Lord, you kept your word. You did what you said you would do. You may have kept me waiting, but Lord, I have triumphed here in the place of prayer. And there's a victory in that even. And a joy in that. Not only in getting what you've asked God to give you, but the fact that He gave it to you. He kept His word. He fulfilled a promise. Oh, the joy in that. And then there's the joy of constant communion with God in prayer, bringing these promises and pleading His word, and your heart becoming warmer and warmer. All of that. Now, I told you earlier, I've been praying about matters, and these two verses have figured. One matter in particular that these verses have figured, and the Lord is fulfilling His word in a great way. But last night I had a matter, just finished the message here, and had something else to do, and I discovered a problem, a big difficulty. And there was a time factor in it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I looked about to try to sort things out. I remember getting down on my knees and saying, Lord, these words that I'm preaching tomorrow morning, they have been precious to me, and they still are about a certain matter. But it says here, whatsoever. And I'm asking thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, because you know that this is not only a desire, this is a need of great urgency. I'm leaving it with thee. You've got to help, Lord. I'm leaving it with thee. And I'm pleading the merit of the Lord Jesus. And I'm coming in His name. I looked about again, but got tired. And then I settled down. I had to do some reading. And in a short while, in a flash, the answer came. The Lord was wonderful in how He took this word that I'd be preaching the next morning and gave me another instance of the reality of this part of Scripture, of the preciousness of these words that I'm bringing to you. So I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, you have that, if you're a Christian, you have that relationship with the Lord that you can expect answers to prayer. You should make use of the privilege. You should know the promises and get to plead them. There are promises in God's word that are applicable for every situation. You need to know how to apply the word of God. And God will teach you that if you ask Him and spend time. And you need to present God's promises to Him and press them upon Him reverently. Lord, you said this. Lord, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Lord, do as thou hast said. Lord, you've led me to believe this. Lord, you've got to stand over your word. And then wait for that check to be cashed or led to your account. God will bring it to you at the best time for you. And what joy will be in your heart at getting the petition granted, but also approving the Lord in the process. Now, I know that I've been speaking to God's people. Only those who are God's people can have anything to do with these exceeding great and precious promises with regard to what we're talking about prayer. But let me say a word to you as we close, who is not a Christian. There is a promise and words that are like promises that you can bring before the Lord with regard to your soul to be saved. Listen to this promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That will take you in. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're not a Christian, there's a promise that you can present to the Lord with confidence and say, "Oh God, save me. Thy word says if I call, you'll save me." And trust in the Lord Jesus. The other one is, the Lord Jesus said about a certain man who had no righteousness of his own. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Or as it is in the original, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." The inference is that he will be merciful if you call upon him. There's a promise for you. If you're not a Christian, if you're outside of God's salvation, turn from your sin, come to the cross, see the fountain filled with precious blood that can wash away every sin, and trust the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. And he will be merciful to you, and he'll save your soul. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks today for the sweetness and the preciousness of thy word. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of prayer and to be patient. May we rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And grant, Lord, that once we know that you've promised a matter and you've laid that promise especially upon our hearts, may we go as often as it is necessary to thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, with his approval and authority, and with his advocacy and aim and action, and even the very assurance that you'll never deny anything to thy dear Son. And we are asking in his name, with his approval, save those among us who are not Christians yet, and may these promises become sweet and powerful to them eventually and soon. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.